Fountain Institute, the importance of imagination and its function.
The descriptions of Jannah, the descriptions of hell are so vivid, very vivid, when you break them down and you see what the Arabic is saying. The purpose behind that is that you then use your faculty of imagination to conceptualize those events, right? The medium of language is to help you construct in your reflection, yeah, an image that then draws you into either wanting to be close to it or tells you to turn away from it. This is why the medium of language is such an important medium when it comes about not just conveying a message, but trying to instill imagery that then remains with us. It's far more profound than just the visual image. Are you following this? Imagery that you construct from hearing and reflecting, its impression upon the soul is far more profound than just imagery that is put upon you. You know, like videos, right? What's the thing they do now in CGI? Is it CGI? Right? Computer-generated imagery, right? You know that stuff now, special effects is on another level. Okay? And that for us is something very important, because that world is a distortion. It's a distortion again of what? It posits in ourselves images, yeah, and understandings that take us away from using the faculty of imagination. You get what I mean? And that in itself makes you lazy. It makes you very lazy. That in itself makes you want to be entertained. You get delighted at just being entertained through the visual. You see what I'm trying to say? You become, you actually just become a leisure, what's the word? You got a potato couch. You become a visual couch, if you want to say, right? Because you just want to be entertained through the visual. And it's a very lazy way of existing. And that's exactly what shaitan is. Shaitan loves laziness. Loves it. You get what I mean? Because when you accept those things as being the main frame of how you learn and how you become, attached, yeah? You've already shifted drastically away from the prophetic and Quranic paradigm. The Quran is language. The prophetic words are language. You see the point? And it's language that is there to what? To engage the faculty of the imagination. The imagination is an amazing gift that we've been given. Right? And that's a further reason why in Islam, pictures have been made prohibited, you know, of human life. One of the reasons for that is because when you start denoting things in life form, yeah, by drawing and etc., you cap people's individual imaginations. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you read The Hobbit, as a book, you formulate your own image of, you know, The Hobbit. You know, you've got your own descriptions, or the orcs, yeah? And etc., etc. But then when they put out a film, and you go into that movie, you're like, oh man, that's not what I thought it'd be like. But you're taken back by the CGI. You're like, man, that's some serious effects. That's even better than what I could imagine. So now your imagination is like second, it's inferior, you know? You get what I'm saying? You're like, oh God, that's like, oh, well, that's epic. The reason why I say this, you know why? Let me bring you back now to a hadith of Hanzala. Right? Because whatever we try to say, we have to anchor it back to the sources of this religion, which are Quran and Hadith. That's the fact, right? We take that Hadith of Hanzala ibn Usayd, radhiyallahu anhu. And what did he do? He came out of his home perplexed and distraught. He met Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr says to him, "What's wrong with you?" He was so frantic in a sense in himself. And he says, "What's up?" And Hanzala said, "Nafaqa Hanzala." Hanzala is a hypocrite. Hanzala is a hypocrite. And Abu Bakr says, he said, "Don't say that." He said, "Why are you saying that? Why are you saying such a thing? You're not a hypocrite." He said, "Yeah, but Abu Bakr," he goes, "listen, when I sit with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when we sit with him and he describes hell and heaven, yeah, it is like we're seeing it right in front of us. Yeah? It's like we're there. It's right in front of us. And then when we leave his presence and we go home and we end up mingling with our families and we socialize and we do things, we forget that reality. We forget that reality of when we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah. That's hypocrisy. For him, that's hypocrisy. Yeah? And when he says that to Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, he says to Hanzala, he goes, "You know what? I suffer from something like that too." So now Abu Bakr's concerned as well that, man, you got a point. So what do? They go and see the Messenger of Allah. And the first thing Hanzala says to the Messenger of Allah is what he said to Abu Bakr. He says, "Nafaqa Hanzala." Hanzala is a hypocrite. And the Prophet said immediately, he says, "Don't say this. Don't say this." And then Hanzala says the same thing that he explained to Abu Bakr. Then the Prophet, what does he say to him? He says, "Ya Hanzala." He said, "Ya Hanzala, this moment for that moment." What he basically said, he goes, every time has its situation and it's given attention. Not all of your time and given attention can be like what you expect when you're sitting in a context that is giving you the space. Now, sitting with the Messenger of Allah, you naturally start to inform yourself how to respect that space, how to behave in that space, how to think in that space. You hold yourself in that space. Your nafs is controlled in that space because you notice that being in that presence is to enter the divine presence. You get it? So that's why when they sat there, they were what the Sahaba, it was like what birds were perched upon their heads. Because that is what that space when the Prophet was delivering an understanding became for them in its meaning. Yeah? But the Prophet didn't say, "Oh, that's how it always be." What did he say? He goes, "Each time and each place. Everything has a time and its place." And then he went on to say to him, he said an amazing point. He says, "Hanzala, if you remained on that state of awareness and realization that you're saying that should be continuous and perpetual," yeah, he said, "you would verily find that the angels would come and shake your hands." Huh? The angels would descend and shake your hands as you walk in the streets or as you lie in your bed. You following this, right? The Prophet is telling him this. There's a real significance to being, that mindful, that aware, and that conceptualized about realities of heaven and hell. That it will ensue a reaction from the unseen in a way that the angels will come and shake your hands. Like you won't be in this world, you know? Inshallah, I'm not saying this out of any exaggeration, yeah? Alhamdulillah. By the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've got to sit and meet some great people of Allah. And I say that with no exaggeration. I mean great people of God. And when I say great people of God, I'm talking about people that from the age of 14, 15, their life observably had nothing wrong, nothing disobedient about it. Till they lived to the lives of in their mid-80s. In the case of Murabit, folk, we spoke about him yesterday, rahimahullah, over 110. In the case of Sheikh Shukri Lahafi, into his 90s. In the case of Sheikh Abu Sa'id al-Khurdi, into his 90s. In the case of Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Halabi, into his 90s. In the case of Sheikh Sayyid Ramadan al-Bhuti, into his 80s. The point is, these people, when you see them, right? And in particularly, I'd say with the Mauritanian scholars you find, man, they sit there They're with you, but they're not with you. It's palpable. It's almost palpable, you know? Like, their awareness of Allah and the hereafter, it like resonates from from them, you know? The way they carry themselves, the way they observe, the way they talk. It's like, I know you're here, but you're not here, if you know what I mean. No pretense, you understand? Just normal, but you're like, there's a different thing here. They are in another place in their knowing of Allah. And that is what you get from when you read about Sahaba. You know, when you read about Sahaba and companions, what you realize that happened in the prophetic presence is that they were nurtured in being manifold with the world and how to live in the world and respect the world and take the means of the world and use it properly. But in their heart and in their state of spiritual reality, they weren't in the world in the least.
www.fountaininstitute.co.uk